Yes, probably.
Maharaj, recently I've had another discourse with Bhakta Andre, and we were talking about local and extended interest. Local and extended interest.
And selfishness.
Selfishness, yeah.
Guru Maharaj's term is
selfishness.
Extended selfishness.
So
is what is humanitarian work, altruistic work, etc.
So yes. I was addressed the question, I couldn't find a reply. So why the interest of Vaishnava community cannot be considered as extended selfishness?
No, that's a good question. First, we should say what it is. Generally, we understand what selfishness is. But what is the difference between self-interest and selfishness? What is in one's self-interest? If we examine children, we get some idea. Because the child, they think what is in their self-interest. Cookies. Candy. Right? Like the YouTube video where the mother, you can tell she turned their smartphone on because of what her child does. And she said, "Say that again, what you said to me." And the kid says, "I only like you when you give me cookies." And she said, "That's the only time you like me." And he goes, "Yes." Because he's not old enough to know how to lie in these kind of social situations. He will learn in time. But she said, "So you only like, I only like you when you give me cookies. That's the only time?" "Yes." And then his mother says, "But I love you." And he says, "I love you too, but I don't like you all the time." No. From the mouths of babes comes the truth. But he thinks that his self-interest is cookies. Can't understand why other things should be offered up. But we'll take it in this example that the mother actually has his self-interest at heart. And therefore she wants him to eat things other than cookies. It'll be for his long-term benefit. Yeah, immediately he's going to get some gratification from the cookies, but he needs, you know, a balanced diet is in the interest of this child beyond what he conceives of as his self-interest. So, we hear of prayas and shreyas. Prayas, that which is immediately beneficial, apparently. Shreyas, what is ultimately beneficial. So it's interesting. And one of the most famous guru slokas about approaching, where it says, "Tasmad gurum," after so many things, it said, "Therefore." And I love these verses to begin with, "Therefore," because there's a lot that saying, so when you come to this stage, what Prabhupada once said, when you realize that material existence is a source of perplexity at every stage, it behooves such a person to approach a spiritual master. But I like to add to that, when not only that it, at every step, it's a source of perplexity, and then I insert in brackets, and a never-ending series of humiliations, you can add to that. It behooves such a person. So, therefore, tasmat gurum prapadyeta, you should get a guru. And what? Jigyasu shreya uttamam. What should you ask the guru? Or, there's some local problem in your life that needs solving. Oh, so, you know, ask the Guru Vaishnava for their blessings. Once this man from, well, I'm not going to say where, one of Gurudev's disciples from an undisclosed location sent him a message saying, you'll be very happy to know, undisclosed location. He said, you'll be very excited to know. That was his choice of words. He said, you'll be very excited to know that I'm getting married this weekend. And Gurudev looked at me and he said, the excitement is in him, not me. That's okay, too. A child wants to share everything. Mom, look at this, look at me. So the disciples, so it's understandable. It's not the worst thing. We can laugh it off, you know. But we're told, jigyasu shrey uttamam. Seriously, one should inquire about what's ultimately beneficial for them. So, prayas and shreyas. But selfishness, meaning egocentrism, I am Ozymandias, look upon my kingdom, ye mighty in despair. Trying to establish ourselves as an absolute center, and from there, trying to expand the circumference of our exploiting capacity. So, but for the kids, we've got to do it for the kids. Right? For our children, what kind of a world do we want them to inherit? Not for ourselves, but you know, for our children and their children. There's some, and so many ways this is expressed. So there's myself, right? What Prabhupada liked that verse, ahang mameti, I and mine. Myself, my wife, my family, my community, right? My town. My state, my country, my school. And back to the children, what is their famous word? Mine! That they learn to express very soon. Takes it. Mine! You can't have that. It's mine! Right. Possession, ahang mameti. My country. Every country has so many patriotic songs. And if, you know, we don't smile and dance and move around, you'll be suspect, of being a traitor. My planet, my universe, even Brahma. The Bhagavata says, avirinchat amangalam. Virinchi means Brahma. Amangal means inauspiciousness. There's a certain level of auspiciousness even in the life of Brahma. You say, my universe. When he went to visit Krishna in Dwaraka, it's rare that one can say my universe and mean like you actually own it. I mean, there may be many people saying that on Facebook, but in reality, I rule. Look upon my kingdom, ye mighty in despair. When Brahma goes to visit Krishna in Dwaraka, Muhyanti Yatsuraya. Even the gods are bewildered trying to assess Krishna, Krishna Lila. And Krishna's on the inner room and he meets the secretary and said, I'd like to see Krishna. And he goes to see Krishna. The secretary says, there's Brahma to see you. And he goes, which Brahma? So he goes back to the secretary and says, excuse me, which Brahma are you? And he's saying, what, there are other ones than me? Four-headed Brahma, you know, father of the four Kumaras. Think four. And then tell them, it's four-headed Brahma, father of, oh, show him in. And Brahma gives his dandavats and Krishna, how may I help you? Can I assist you? How is everything, by the way? Everything's going well, and yeah, by your grace. The asuras are ultimately defeated. They're subdued. But before I move on to other things, I was just wondering, he said, which Brahma? Are there other Brahmas than me, than I? And Krishna, by his Krishna power, summons all the Brahmas from all the different universes. Some with 8, 16, 32, 64, 128, 256, 512, 1024, a meg of heads, a gig of heads, tetraheads. And he sees all these, and they're all bowing before Krishna and praising Krishna. Each one only sees that they've been summoned, but our Brahma said he felt like, variously, like a rabbit in the presence of many giant elephants or an incense. Pick your kita. So, avirinchi amangalam. Even some auspiciousness is there on that level. But, so, let me say, this so-called humanitarianism, altruism, Guru Maharaj said, it's funny, he said it, this is the exact way he said it, which I find interesting. He said, when I used to preach, he means in his days when he was going around and preaching on behalf of Gaudiya Math, he said, I used to say that is extended selfishness. It's another type of selfishness. In the guise of humanitarianism, altruism, etc., it still has this egoistic element to it, right? So then we can say, as the inquirer with the question, that how is the service to the Vaishnavas not along those lines, right? So I recall when Srila Saraswati Thakur was introducing the Harmonist magazine, he made reference to the Sajjan Toshini of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That had the Sanskrit name, Bengali Sanskrit, and here he's presenting in English. But he wanted to say that in substance, the contents were the same. And he gave, it's interesting, it's in the first issue, he gives an explanation of Sajjan Toshini. Because it's comprised of Sat, Jan, Sajjan, and Toshini. So he has to define, first, who is, when we say Sat, whom is indicated? And here, in a nice way, he says, Krishna alone is not the supreme absolute truth. That's not to say, when we say Krishna alone is supreme, that's one way of saying it. But he means to say here, Krishna is not alone. Right? When we say Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha, etc., Prabhupada likes to say, when you say king, implied is queen, prince, princesses, kingdom, royal paraphernalia. So Krishna, it's not that Krishna alone is alone. He's saying, but Radha and Krishna, together they comprise the Supreme Absolute Truth. And that's very beautiful. They're inseparable, like musk and its fragrance, like sun and light, or heat and light. They're inseparable. We cannot conceive of one without the other. That's why, interestingly, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, what is that song? Radha Bhajane Nahi Bela. You know that, the line? He's saying, if your so-called Krishna Bhajan, your worship of Krishna, doesn't culminate in the worship of Radharani, it's fictitious. It's not real. So she's even of more importance to the devotees. Her mediation is crucial. So it says Sat. When we say Sat, it will indicate Radha and Krishna. And then he says, Sajjan, Janna always means the people or the group. Or, so he's saying, Sajjan, and it's very sweet when he said, means whom they consider their own. Now we're going to, you know, Vaishnava proper. Right? Whom Radha and Krishna consider their own. Because when we say Vaishnava, really it's a high thing. It's the desired designation. But we use that in a very broad sense. And we hear in places like the Bhagavatam and alluded to in the Upadeshamritam, different levels. Of the third class, Kanishta, Madhyam Bhagavat, Uttam Bhagavat. But here, he's going so far as to identify them as whom Radha and Krishna consider their own. Right. And then we will say, and of that group, they have considerations. Who are dear to them. But so he says, Sajjan Toshini. We're trying to please them. Those are the Vaishnavas, whom Radha and Krishna consider their own. And no less than Krishna. Tasmai Deyam Tato Grajam Satita Yatayaham, sa pujo cha yatayaham. Yeah, it's Krishna saying that they're to be considered non-different than me. And it's mentioned when the Lord says, who is non-different from him? The implication is their dearness, how dear they are to him. That he considers them his own, equal to himself, and worshipable object, right? Worthy of worship. As he is worshipable, they are worshipable. Right? So Vaishnava Seva is not extended selfishness, cannot be. Vaishnava Seva proper is tantamount to worshiping the Lord himself. Madbhakta, Madbhakta Puja Abhyadika. In fact, again in the 11th canto, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, the worship of my devotee takes precedence over myself. We know Shiva, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu, Shiva, he's asked by Parvati, what is the highest type of aradhana, worship. And she is quite surprised to hear Mahadev. She would say, aradhananam sarveshnam Vishnu aradhanam is param. That's the supreme worship is Vishnu aradhana, the worship of Vishnu. And she's thinking, but you are my Lord. And I'm, so what is my position then? Am I not doing the desired thing? Then here's that word, tasmat, tasmat, paratram devi, tadiyanam samarjanam. But even better than that is the worship of that which is most dear to him. And then she thought, oh, then I am all right. Because you're most dear to him. And you're my Lord, and I'm worshiping you, so everything's okay. Kintu prabho ya priya eva tasya bande guru sri charananavindam. Kintu, but sakshat aritena samasta shastre uktastatabhav dhyat eva sadbhi. If first Krishna, the focal point is Krishna. See guru sakshat Hari, as an approaching Himalaya, is Sandeep around here? Because he knows how to say that properly. When I say Himalaya, no, Himalaya. Himalaya. Because it's Hima and Aloy. Himalaya. Like Himavati, Himalaya. From the greatest distance, highest peak to focus upon is Everest. Right? So with your focus on Everest, you begin to make your approach. But the proof positive that you're going in the right direction and getting nearer to Everest is when you come in connection with the subordinate peaks that are surrounding Everest. That means you're going in the right direction. Kintu praboya priya yavatasya. So on a closer scrutiny, we see actually who is guru. We focused on Krishna. Now we're looking with greater scrutiny. We see guru is prabhu priya, the one who is most dear to Krishna. And if we say, well, of all, so many Krishna's saying, or his devotees, how dear they are to him. Out of all the devotees who are dearest to Krishna, is there one who is more dear than all the other dears? And yes, that is Srimati Radharani. Then we say, oh, so then Guru will ultimately be seen as Srimati Radharani or Radharani's delegation. Yadamiya mahima srima bhagavatam kathayam pratipatam anubhutam apya labdhavideya tadakila rasamurti shamalila avalambam madura rasadi sri radha pada padmam prapadye. The book, Krishna, the Krishna book, the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is the Krishna book. It's the book of Krishna. You say, this is the book on Krishna right here. This Srimad Bhagavatam, it's the Krishna book. That Prabhupada called the 10th canto, the Krishna book. that book. So this is the book that's going to tell you everything you need to know about Krishna, like your guide to Krishna, the manual on Krishna, right? The operator's manual on Krishna. And starts off with some very grand pronouncements. Janmad yasya yaton bayad itaratas char teshu abhigya swarat. Everything's coming from him. It's beautiful. It was just in, we're told, Vedas, the Kalpa Taru, Kalpa Vriksha, the desire tree. That's why everything's in there. Because people have many different types of desires. You know, how come these things are there and not just... Because people have all kinds of desires. So Veda's going to tell you, like, itara tascha, directly, we've got a path for you. Wherever you're situated at, we've got a path to take you in the right direction. But, so it can be confusing. Krishna makes it simple, and by the way, Vedaischa Sarvaraham Geva Vedyo. Saying, what do you do understand from all this? Me. That's clear. Vedaischa Sarva Aham means me. I am what is to be understood. But in this one part here, it's like at the stuff about Agni Dev. I am what is to be understood. But here there's this other God and they're saying, I am what is to be understood from all this Veda. If you're not, when you read it, if you don't get me, you're not reading it properly. Right? But as it is, after Vedanta Sutra, and in that Vedanta Sutra, Brahma Sutra, when I say, Janmadyasya Yataha, begins like that. From whom every, Janma means born, emanates from, manifests from, created by, all of that. From whom, like the Upanishads say, Yato va imani bhutani jayante, from which everything is manifested, by which it's maintained, and what it will ultimately enter into. Okay. Sounds scientific. The Upanishads have that scientific ring about them. Pure philosophy. But how beautiful it is, if you understand. You always remember Krishna, right? When Mahaprabhu is arguing, not arguing, but defeating, mercifully enlightening Prakasananda Saraswati, and is explaining about Vedanta Darshan and such things. It's, in one sense, it's very, if we can just simply focus upon what is said there, it's so helpful in understanding things. He tells them, when it comes to interpretation, wherever it says Brahma, put Krishna. Insert the word Krishna, then you'll understand what it means. Oh. Janmad yasyata, whom from everything is manifesting. So it's told in the beginning of the Bhagavatam. What we're told, tree, Veda tree, Vedanta is the flower that comes from that tree. Like here, soon the springtime will come, and then the flowers, and the flower has what? The floral essence of what that tree is all about. Right? But then the flower gives way, then the fruit is produced. Nigama kalpaturo galitam palam. Shukamukharam Ritadabasamyatam Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Muhuraho Rasika Bhuvi Babuka. We're saying this Bhagavatam is the mature, fully ripened fruit of the tree of Veda, of which Vedanta was the floral essence. And what does it say? In the second verse, Dharmak Prujita Kaita Bhota Paramo Nirmat Saranam Satam. Nirmat Sarja Satam. Here the Satam means the devotees. You cannot be envious of them. Right? Service to them is not selfishness. No envy expressed towards devotees. So those who do not, what to speak of the supreme devotee, those who do not give recognition to Srimati Radharani cannot be considered devotees proper of Krishna. They possess fictitious devotion. Right? Their devotion is a hallucination. Right? So this book, so the secret to understanding Krishna, this is the book about Krishna, the secret to understanding him is to understand, is to appreciate the position of his devotee, to praise the devotee, right? To sing the glories of the devotee. So when Guru Maharaj says, Yadamiya Mahima Sri Bhagavatam Katayam, he's speaking really saying the Bhagavatam is about the praise of Radharani. To praise, to sing her glories. Pratipatam anubhutam apilad labdabideya tadakila rasamurti shamalila avalambam. And saying, and the sweetest pastimes of Krishna, shamalila, madura rasa, is all dependent upon her. So what did the very first statement of the Bhagavatam? Janmadyasyataha. Think that from which everything is coming, Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, he says, that we see the word adi there. Janma adi, janmadi. So it can mean like birth, etc. But it can also mean the original. And he's saying, here, this adi, this is Vishwanath's explanation, is indicative of madura rasa. As being adi rasa, the original, mukya rasa, the principle, the root, cause of everything. Is what is the nature of that Krishna from whom everything is coming? And this book about Krishna, he's saying, in the first words of the Bhagavatam is indicating madura rasa. And that will be expressed fully in the 10th canto. And it's saying, and these pastimes are what? Shyamalila avalambam. They're entirely dependent upon Srimati Radharani, the devotee. So really, the worship of the devotee, that is the thing that we... To worship Krishna and not the devotee, that is selfish and misconceived. Krishna can only be properly worshipped with and through his devotees. So, and why did Mahaprabhu descend in the world? Jari gorna hoita, tabi ki hoita kemani daritam dehe, radhar mahima prema rasasima jagata janatake. To sing the glories of Radharani, we can say, well, I thought he came to tell everyone about Krishna. Yes, but Krishna has something else on his mind. He's saying, if you really want to understand Krishna and have a connection with Krishna, then you need to hear about her. Govinda Balabhe Radhe Prate Tamahamsada. Yesterday was the appearance of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And we hear in this verse, and his Archana Padati, and the way Guru Maharaj rendered it, paraphrased it by saying, you want a connection with me? That's not my department. Radhe Vrindavanadishe Koranamrita Vahini. It's her department. Any significant meeting with me, she knows about that. Like the corporate leaders or the president of this world, the people in the highest position, you want to have a meeting with them, you have to go through their, you know, executive assistant, or they don't even know. He's more or less saying that she knows everything. And who is qualified and who is capable of assisting in this service. Krishna says the whole creation is mad after my aroma. Everyone, he said, but the fragrance of my beloved drives me mad. So her position is so exalted that Krishna himself has embraced her position. Radha Bhava Duti Subalita. And come to the world to tell everyone about the greatness of Radharani and her love, her Krishna consciousness. We speak about Krishna Prem and Krishna Nam. And Srila Guru Maharaj is saying, if we say, Sevan Mukhe Hijabharo Shayameva Sportada, then this Seva current, it's a current. And like, what do they have? The voltage meter reader. You think, what is the voltage of the current of Krishna Nam when Yashoda takes the name of Krishna? And I remember, and maybe you all remember, in childhood, when the mothers would, like, at a certain time, they opened the door in their house, and they would, like, call their children, like, to come and eat. Right? And they're like, yeah, loud. And then someone, hey, your mother's calling you. And you hear your mother call you, and then you have to, like, stop playing and go home. When Yashoda, what is the voltage of the Krishna Nam and the current of Yashoda when she's calling Krishna to, you know, for the bhojan at the house of Nanda Maharaj, to, you know, Shukta Shakadi Bhaji Nalita Kushmanda, when that time comes. What is the current? What is the voltage of the current of the Krishna Nam of Srimati Radharani when she's calling the name of Krishna? That it can make him forget the Vedas and all this praise. They're saying, you're so great, your incarnations and avatars are innumerable, you descend in this world to rescue the fallen souls, and they're on and on and on and on. With so much extensive praise. And what does Krishna say? That Vedastute Hoite Harimoraman, the Bartsan, when my beloved is cursing me, he said, it steals my mind away from the reverential hymns of the Vedas. It's so sweet to my ear. Who can love Krishna that much? What is the current of that Krishna? So he's saying, Prema Rasa Sima. The heights, the limits of Krishna. How far can it go? He wants the world to know that. So Guru Maharaj is saying, although her name ostensibly is not mentioned there, and every step of the way, every page is meant us to take in the direct, every sloka meant to take us in the direction of the service of her holy lotus feet. So really, the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnav shall be the target of our service. Vaishnava seva. That's in our ultimate interest. To serve those who are, by his own admission, dear to Krishna. Achyuta Priya. Narada telling Vyas, without this, religion may be a bad thing, may misdirect people. If they don't understand that they have some prospect, some possibility use Hrishikesha Hrishikena Sevanam Bhakti, use their senses, all of them, the full spectral range of sensual possibility, and be expressed in service. This is the message of the Bhagavatam. But has to be so carefully considered that 9 cantos prerequisite to even begin to approach Krishna Leela. Mahaprabhu asks Raghupati Bhajai, who knows everything, all the scriptures, what is the supreme form of the Lord, the supreme abode of the Lord, the supreme age, and the highest, the supreme rasa. Shama eva param rupam puri marupuri bara kaishoram. Kaishoram deyam adyo rasa sav eva sav para. Supreme form of Lord Shama Sundar. Shama Leela Avalambam. The Madhura Rasa pastimes all dependent upon her. Shama Eva Param Rupam. That's the supreme form of the Lord. Puri Madhupuri Vara. Sometimes Madhura means Madhupuri, but there you see the word Madhu. Sweet, that zone. Mathura, Vrindavan, Govardhan, Radhakund. Like sweet, sweeter, sweetest. Kishore. That's when Krishna is, when reality is the most beautiful. His teenage form. And there it is. Adi Rasa. This is right. Madhura Rasa. So it is only by the grace of the Vaishnavas that we can have any substantial connection with these things. That means with reality. We should remember that. As Guru Maharaj told when he asked those devotees, can I ask you a question? And they were surprised. And he said, what is Krishna consciousness? And they were, it's what Prabhupada taught us. That was a good answer. He said, Krishna, did he mention him? And then they're going to say more, and Guru Maharaj stopped. He said, it is reality, and it is in your interest to become acquainted with this reality. It's not something we do on the weekends. Or, don't quit your day job. It's reality. It's not like religion. It's in a box. It has a little category. It is reality, and we're dealing with the supreme reality. It's in our interest to become acquainted with this reality. The Vaishnavas are the agents of reality. We want to have a service connection with them. That is a real connection. Vaishnava Seva. That will please Krishna. Tadiyanam Samarjanam. To please those whom Krishna, Radha and Krishna have accepted as their own, that will please them very much. Any other question?
Yes, Maharaj. If the truth is dynamic, vilasa, then does it mean that it is flickering and unstable by its nature? Does it mean that that is truth today may not be truth tomorrow?
Everything, when it applies to Krishna, is good. So sometimes Guru Maharaj said, prepare yourself to serve a whimsical lord. But because he's absolute, good. So his whims are good. If he's whimsical, it's good. It's absolutely good. Right? But vilas means playful. There's one meaning. So, Krishna, like Deva, also means playful. So Krishna's pastimes they're more or less going on in a particular way, but with some variation. But that's not what we would consider flickering or unstable. But, you know, it's a feature, not a bug. That sometimes, you know, Kaliya, after being chastised by Krishna, says, if you ever need a carrier in the future, I'm available. Because Balaram himself is saying, like, because his expansion is Ananta, like, if you want to play with a snake, I'm available. As Ananta Shesh. But anyway, you're Krishna, you prefer this Kaliyan. Kaliyan is saying, and I am available in the future as a carrier. So we're told sometimes when Akura comes to Vrindavan to take Krishna away, instead of on the chariot, they ride Kaliya. So that's a variation on the Nitya Lila pastimes. But, you know, Guru Maharaj described Krishna as autocrat, despot, and liar. So, one devotee was shocked, thinking, this is not a conventional way to address the Supreme Absolute Truth. Although Saraswati Thakur liked to say, the transcendental autocrat. Right. But generally, an autocrat, autocracy, that gives us pause or makes us nervous. Yes, if someone in this world is masquerading as the transcendental autocrat, indeed. But if in fact you are, you know, reality is for itself and by itself, if you are the supreme reality, that's different. If you're not the supreme reality, you know, and you have the humility to acknowledge that candidly, that's a different situation. I'm saying, so the supreme, he's an autocrat and despot. He's saying, because if there's any check on his autocracy, we become losers. Or his so-called despotism, we become losers. This is not a question of being like paternalistic in a mundane sense. We're talking about the supreme being, the supreme entity. So we can't think, well, in this world, here are the rules that we play by, that we find are helpful for organizing human civilization and living a progressive life. You should follow the same rules. You could make a case for that in like Ram Lila, that Rajniti, the rules regarding, you know, the behavior of kings, the do's and don'ts of kingship. So Ramachandra, he's abiding by those. Later, Balaram, Nityananda, he's admitting those are not his favorite pastimes because he's restrained. And the one pastime where he's the younger brother, Lakshman, he's always elder brother and has free reign as Balaram and Nityananda, but in Ram Lila, as Lakshman, younger brother, he's constrained by etiquette. Right? That's what it, the etiquette for kings to you. Krishna is the transcendental autocrat. We cannot, if we try to restrict him or constrain him by imposing human rules or limitations upon him, we end up being the losers. Then instead of mercy over justice, you get justice above mercy. Instead of heart above intellect, then intellect. There's a reversal. An undesirable reversal takes place. We prefer mercy over justice. As Portia says in The Merchant of Venice, if not for mercy, what hope is there for any of us, actually? And the famous piece, the quality of mercy is not strained, it droppeth like the gentle rain from heaven. And if not for mercy, there's no hope for any of us. So that sort of whim in this context, we can call it whim, it is not sensible or rational, justifiable, is the nature of mercy. So if we come to restrain with our rational approach, then no mercy. Beauty is whimsical and not rational. Actually, love is not rational. Padmalochan, the lady with the blind child. And people say, what's your baby's name? Padmalochan means lotus eyes. I think, but your child is blind. He has such beautiful lotus eyes. That means love conceals all defects. Love is better than Photoshop. Infinitely better. It conceals all the flaws, all the deficiencies. And we see, and all they're seeing is beauty. That's why the attempt in Krishna consciousness, the attempt yields substance. The lamentation for not being Krishna conscious yields divine substance. If one heartfelt way laments their lack of Krishna consciousness, they'll improve in Krishna consciousness. No prema gandasti drapi me horo krandami subhagyambaram prakashitam. I don't have a scent of the fragrance of Krishna prema, what to speak of a drop of that divine substance. That is the way. That captures Krishna's attention. The whimsical Krishna, autocrat Krishna, despot Krishna. So Guru Maharaj went autocrat, despot, and then saying, but the devotee listening, he goes, but liar? Okay, autocracy. Reality is for itself and by itself. And don't want to check the despotism, I get on that. But liar? You know. And Guru Maharaj said, yes, because you can't handle the truth. You're not ready to hear the full truth. So he's taking the position of a liar to entice you. Parokshabhadabedoyam balanam anushasanam. Just as you tell the child, they're not ready to hear the full truth. You don't say, all right, the sun is spinning and orbiting, and then the earth and planet, they're spinning and orbiting, and then the star, everything's spinning, and it's confusing. If we say, all right, the sun is fixed, it's not moving. Okay. Then the earth, and they're orbiting around the sun. Okay. Earth's also spinning on its own. Okay. Actually, you know that solar system we just described? Yeah. Actually, with the sun, they're pivoting around the pole star. Wow. It's something like that. So all these things that seem to be, I won't say here lie, but I just did, about what seems to be misleading. It's back to that Vedaischa Sarvairaham Geva Vedyo. Directly or indirectly, Itaratas Cha. It's Anvayad Itaratas. Directly or indirectly, taking us toward Krishna conception. Why does Krishna steal the butter? Once Prabhupada said, in this way, he is showing us that butter is so valuable that if we can't afford it, we can steal it. When the ladies complain to Maya Shoda that Krishna, he's breaking in the house and stealing. But we should remember, when they complain, it's in the form of song. Katāganam natyagamanam. All their speech is song, their movement. So they're singing and dancing complaints. And some of them not complaining, like the gopi, who She's pretending to be asleep. And she can hear Krishna. He's holding his ankles like to not make a sound, but she can hear the pitter-patter of lotus feet. And then Krishna, there's a lamp burning, he goes, whoosh, and the lamp goes out. And she's smiling, thinking, you know, that the supreme whimsical absolute is stealing butter in my house. And we hold, when Narad Muni sees this, his smile becomes so radiant it turns the clouds silver. Right. But when Yashoda has to respond, she's saying, then leave some yogurt or butter on the table, or, you know, then he can just take that, not break anything, nothing. And they said, no, you're Gopal, he likes stealing. Why does he like stealing? The taste is sweeter. Parakya, what belongs to another, the taste is sweeter. Same thing is there, but it's become sweeter by the forbidden nature of the transaction, I can say. But we're told there's never any encroachment by Krishna. In one place, he's playing with the gopis like the way a child plays with its reflection in a mirror. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavitavi Stabirja Eva Nijarupataya Kalavi Goloka Eva Nivisatya Kilatma Bhuto Govindamari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Krishna can never be an encroacher. He already said everything comes from him. So, Yoga Maya, the necessity of Yoga Maya to instill this illusion, spiritual illusion, to allow for this sort of sweetness to be generated. How perfect it is. Hare Krishna.